So now, kids, tell me about dancing.
Well, it's good exercise.
Queen K.
V's
Oral Fixation.
Hey, everybody. You're tuned in to Queen K. V's Oral Fixations. This is a special edition of my podcast, basically bringing you a 2005 interview with Eats Tapes. It's a fantastic boy-girl electronica duo from Bay Area, California. And basically, their music is catchy, infectious, glitchy, difficult, and loud. And they love to keep dance hipsters freaking out. They did a cross-country tour with Kid 606 and Knife Hand Chop for Tiger Beat Records. It was back in 2005. Also in 2005, they released their album on Tiger Beat 6, Sticky Buttons. So this particular interview is a cell phone interview with Marika Yortsma and Gregory Zytek. We talk about musical influences, how they got started as a band, and how they got involved as a couple, and other points in between. So check it out, and I'll talk to you guys later.
Queen K.
The Interviews.
Eats. Tapes.
Talking a little bit so we can get your levels?
Yeah, hi. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, hello.
That sounds cool.
Okay, good.
Okay, great. Are we ready to go? Fabulous. All right, Marika?
Yeah.
Am I saying your name right?
It's Marika, yeah.
Marika. And how do you say?
Yeah, that's good. That's like the Dutch pronunciation.
Wow.
But the English pronunciation of American is just Marika.
Okay, Marika. And how do you say your last name?
Yortsma.
Yortsma.
Yeah, that's great.
Great, Yortsma. So, what country is that from?
It's a Dutch name from the Netherlands.
The Netherlands, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, well, Marika, I'm gonna work on that.
Okay.
So sorry. Just wondering, how did you and Greg get hooked up doing music together?
We met in Portland, Oregon. We were like working at a restaurant together, and then we became friends. And Greg was playing music by himself in a like solo project called Illegal Minds, and I was like his biggest fan. And so then we just decided to start playing music.
Incredible. Why were you his biggest fan when he was part of that, when he was doing his solo project?
I don't know why I was his biggest fan. Maybe I was his girlfriend, and maybe, I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's because, like, Greg would not, he'd play at, like, random house parties mm-hmm. that we'd have, and it would just be, like, weird whatever situations. And so I was, like, really into what he was doing. But maybe, like, other people were kind of taken by surprise by it or something. I don't know.
Why would people be taken by surprised by that kind of music?
Well, at the time, like, we were throwing sort of, like, noise shows and stuff in our... We lived in the storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was more, like, people's, like... I mean, like, kind of like a rock noise influence. And so sometimes, you know, to be busting out with some, like, crazy techno would be a little bit surprising for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, like, raged out and danced stuff, but I was definitely reaching out the hardest.
Awesome, awesome. And from what I understand, you've both of you started off as Boom Della Boom, and then you did this metamorphosis into Eats Tapes. How did that happen?
Well, I can't actually really remember why we changed. I think that we were like playing shows as Boom Della Boom, and then we just decided we didn't like the name Boom Della Boom, and like we were kind of going, I don't know, we just decided that we wanted to change so that we could be like a little bit more flexible with our music project. Like we could do like really weird art projects, or I don't know, just change it from just being a band a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, let's just change the name also so it doesn't sound so it only belongs in the club.
Okay, is there anything about your music that indicates that you actually eat tapes, or are there
that our music eats tapes? Mm-hmm. our equipment occasionally fucks up, but we occasionally, or in every set, we use tape loops that we make.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally the tape player eats the tape loop, so in that way, yeah.
That must make for some really interesting shows. What happens then?
We'll just take it out and, like, throw it into the audience or something. Like, we don't... We get kind of bummed if it's, like, a tape we really like or it's a tape loop, because it's kind of a pain in the butt to make tape loops. Like, you have to sit there and, like, splice them together, and then, like, you get one tape loop that you just, like, super like and you never want it to leave, and then it breaks and you try to fix it. So then, you know, sometimes we're really bummed, and sometimes we don't care. It's just kind of like a sign, like, it's time to move on from that tape or something.
Okay, and in addition to these tape loops that you're making, what are some other, like, unusual tools or instruments that you use to make music?
Okay, that's a good question. Because I don't want to be the only person talking, I'm going to pass it to Greg.
Okay, great.
He needs to talk about this, too. Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Greg.
The question is about unusual instruments?
Yeah, that you're using in your music.
They're not too unusual. I guess it depends on your perspective of the music. Like, as far as it being pretty straightforward dance music, shitty cassette loops are pretty unusual for that style. I also do mixer feedback through a delay pedal, which is kind of like not typically something that you hear in that kind of a thing. And then also a bunch of our stuff is modified to do things that it didn't do originally, but it's still pretty much like, I don't know. I mean, the fundamental pieces of gear that we use are like very conventional for dance music, but they are altered in certain ways that sound a bit different, I guess.
Okay, you know, I was at when I was in Long Beach, I caught your set at Kuz, and I noticed
cool.
that you were using a child's recorder or a child's player.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So how did you make it? You warped it up, or what did you do to make it sound so damn cool?
Yeah, it's just a little it's just a kid's toy that plays different songs and like makes different noises, and I had modified that brand of toy before, and so I figured it would be easy, and in fact, it is in that one, which is made by VTech. Like, it's easy to find the part of the circuit that controls the pitch,
mm-hmm.
and which is the pitch and the speed of the sounds, and so I was just able to add a knob that makes it go from really low and indiscernible and slow to, like, really high and sweet. But most of the modifications that I've done have been like, I want this synthesizer to have this other function that could have been designed into it originally, like not that far out,
mm-hmm.
but is not in there and would be easy to add. Like my drum machine is like an old digital drum machine that uses samples, and you don't have any control over the sounds, so I added pitch control over those sounds, and it sounds I guess that does sound unusual because they're such low-resolution samples that as soon as they get pitched up or down at all, they don't sound like real drums anymore.
So where do you get your inspiration for this, or what are your musical influences?
In general, obviously, like, a lot of techno and house.
Mm-hmm.
I also, having lived in the Bay Area for a while, have been really stimulated by, like, Bay Area noise artists, just, like, sort of people that make and perform lo-fi music, I've been really interested in, and then also just dance parties,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe Marika would also have something to add to that, because I think she has sort of a different perspective. So let me hand the phone back to her.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, what's the question?
The question is, what are some of your musical influences or inspiration when you're mixing up music?
Yeah, we were just talking about this the other day, and I definitely am influenced by, like, acid house and stuff like that, but also, like, I get influenced by sort of, like, ideas of ways of, like, combining music or, like, conceptual ideas of, not collage, but, like taking two things that might be seen as, like, total contrast, like harmony and dissonance, and combining them to see what the effect is. So also, like, taking that approach, like, not maybe just thinking about the type of music that I want to make, also thinking about ideas of music influencing me as well.
Could you maybe touch upon some examples of that in your new album, Sticky Buttons?
Peanut butter, jelly, and hot dogs. I want some peanut butter, jelly, and hot doggies.
Yeah, I mean, I think in all of our music, like, there'll be times, I don't know, like, I think in the last song, Acid Is What's For Dare, the whole song is pretty, like, cacophonous and insane, and then, like, the end, it just ends in this, like, sort of, like, pretty yet screeching, like, repetitive synth line. So it's, for me, it's kind of like that, it's interesting to combine that, like, insane frenzy within, like, a release, and then maybe have parts where it's just, like, this amazing, like, I don't know, driving, dancing, melody, drum machine, combo, and then, like, break it down just into insane, like, confusing noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opposite of a breakdown, kind of. It's, like, adding more things instead of taking them away, which I kind of like. Like, I like the way that makes you feel or, like, relates to, like, rhythm or, like, the expectation your body has for something to, like, keep going, but then, like, have all the noise, like, come out at once instead of just, like, breaking down into a simple drum beat.
So you're trying to push the envelopes of what people are expecting from this electronica house, acid, techno, whatever they're trying to categorize your music as?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And what has been your favorite responses, either from, like, music critics or fans about the music that you're doing?
My favorite response is always just, like, people freaking out. Like, that's the best. We were also talking about this the other day, like, when we first changed over to Eats Tape, like, our first show was, like, this party or this show or something in Portland where it was synonymously billed as a heat wave party, unbeknownst to us. And so we show up and we start playing, like, everyone off their clothes and started dancing. They were, like, really surprised. But it was really great, you know, that kind of thing. Also, just, like, weird, random people freaking out is always very pleasing. You know, it's hard. We definitely feel really weird when people, like, sit down and try to relate to the music that way. Like, we've played some galleries and stuff, but it's always a little bit awkward.
So the music that you're doing, you want people to be, like, physical about it.
Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, it's dance. It's, like, hands down dance music, you know? So, yeah, I definitely think that's, like, I personally don't really feel like there's anything to look at, you know? We're not doing anything really interesting up there. Like, maybe if you're, like, super geeking out on, like, our hardware or something, it might be interesting. But really, it's just not that interesting, you know? And so I think, like, the best thing to do is to, like, whip the dance floor into a frenzy. But, like, I think, like, that is the way that you... It's, like, weird. It's, like, very different than, like, a rock context where you, like, sort of show homage to your band by, like, standing up front. It's, like, instead it's, like, we are asking people to, like, communicate with us by dancing, and then we'll know, and then we'll, like, make, you know, we'll keep playing.
Exactly. And, like, since you've been on tour, I mean, you've been everywhere, all over the United States, all the way up to Canada. How has it been different performing your music out there, and maybe just the electronica dance, acid, techno, house, you know, thing?
Yeah.
How is it different, or how does it compare to the Bay Area?
It's different. I mean, every place is really different, and I think because we did the two different tours, it's been really different. Like, the first tour with Tussle was, like, we were definitely playing shows that people from more of, like, an indie rock context were coming to, and sometimes that was really great. Like, they totally loved it. Sometimes it was really new. Like, people just totally thought we were, like, freaks from outer space who were, like, computer engineers or something. And, you know, sometimes we were, like, totally down, like, in New York and Chicago. Like, in Chicago we played with some really great noise bands, and, you know, the music was, like, pretty different than ours, but people could really just, like, go from one thing to another. It was fun. Like, they were freaking out to the noise bands, they were freaking out to us, they were freaking out to Tussle. And I have to say, look, in terms of the Tiger Beat Tour, two people, I think, come pretty prepared to dance, you know? It's only a few places where maybe it's, like, a Monday night or people are having, there's, like, everyone in the crowd's having a bad day. It's, like, kind of, people aren't that into it or something. But, you know, it's been pretty good. Toronto, Canada's really amazing. Like, Toronto seems like it's an amazing town for electronic music. People are just, like, ready to go crazy immediately.
They're not, they don't have any American inhibitions when it comes to music and performing?
No, I don't think so. They didn't seem to have any inhibitions at all. It was pretty wild.
And I'd also like to ask you a couple questions about your working relationship, your artistic relationship with Greg. How has it evolved, and relationship as artists and maybe as human beings with each other as you're continuing this collaboration?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty intense because we're dating. But I think it's also, I mean, it's like, it has its ups and downs. You know, it's like good because we're together all the time, and it's bad because we're together all the time, you know? But, I mean, we've been together for like 5 years, so we can, it's not like we have problems communicating or anything. And I think that we generally are like really receptive to each other's ideas. There's only a few times, like there's only a few perhaps specific synth lines that we get spiced about. Greg thinks they're too high pitched or something, but they're not really, it's not really that serious. Like, pretty much respect each other and are really open to other ideas, you know, like we really want to like start doing some other stuff besides just like recording albums, like different sort of like art sound projects as well, and we're both like really into that, you know, which is nice. So it's not like, it's not really a hierarchy. And we have, like, a really nice exchange because, like, I learned a lot of, about, like, synthesis and electronic music from Greg, you know? And it's fine, you know? We have, I feel like we both have a lot to offer each other. I'm not sure what he would say. I'm sure I have something that he would say I offer him. But I don't know what it is.
Can we
I don't know. Maybe structure or something.
Can you hear what
maybe
he...
Maybe drive. I'm the driving force.
I know you're the driving force, but maybe Greg can tell me what he thinks about what you contribute.
Yeah, let me put him on the phone. Hold on. Okay.
Hello?
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Yeah, so I was asking her about how your relationship has evolved from being artists together, collaborating together, and also just your personal relationship, and what you think she brings into the music, what she contributes, and what you've learned from her.
Well, I think definitely on a structural level, the music is much more the stuff that I've made by myself has been similar rhythmically, but it's been pretty minimal in terms of like in terms of like melodies and bass lines and things like that. Like
hey Greg? Hello? Hi. Oh man. Hi. Are you guys there?
We're sorry. All circuits are busy now.
Okay.
Please try your call again later.
Okay, hang on just a sec. Hey, Greg?
Yeah.
Okay, going back to that question we had here, what have you learned from Marika about music and putting music together?
Well, I, compared to the stuff that I did by myself, which was almost only drums, it was just very minimal, I think what she brings is definitely a sense of melody, and she's able to write bass lines that I don't think I could ever come up with. And then also, just the way that
she what? Could you repeat that, please?
That she, the way that she writes changes really propels the music in a way that would happen with...
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please? That she propels the music?
In the way she writes melody and writes in the parts. Craft it with my own. The stuff I've made on my own is more minimal melodically. It's mostly just drums and rhythm and changes a lot less. So it's more monotonous.
And because of your personal relationship, do you find that the music has, I don't know, maybe more of a playful tone, that you folks are more willing to experiment, you have more of a comfort zone in terms of just creating music?
I really can't say, because I haven't ever been in this situation with another person making this type of music. I mean, I've collaborated with other people on numerous occasions, but it's always been with different focus, and I don't know if that's because of the different tastes of the people involved, or if maybe being in a relationship has anything to do with that. I can't really say whether that is any bigger of a factor than our specific personalities versus other people's personalities.
From moving from your touring to and then releasing your CD Sticky Buttons, what do you want to do next?
Just experiment. That's where I find inspiration, is by experimenting with instruments and just trying new things. On a technical level, we'd like to get a better recording set up at our house so that we can multi-track by ourselves and immediately record songs as soon as we write them. Because now it's been hard. Like, we come up with things to do live, and then we'll play them live for a year, and then when we record them, they feel kind of stale, and they've never really been developed into full, discrete songs, and so it would be easy if we could just get them down immediately.
Are you thinking about starting your own label or something?
I'm sorry?
Are you thinking about starting your own record label or something to get your music recorded?
Well, we recorded it, this Sticky Buttons, ourselves, mm-hmm. but it was a difficult process, partly because the songs were mostly old, but we had never fleshed them out in the context of a discrete 5-minute mix to go on an album, you know?
Okay.
It was things that we did live within the context of a whole set. So I think it took, in this case, Tiger Beat 6 putting out this album that drove us to actually do the recording, but if we had a setup, then we could come to Tiger Beat 6 with things that were already recorded and just put it out like that, instead of having to go through the whole process of converting the material into discrete songs and then recording it.
One more last question. Why did you choose the name Sticky Buttons for your album?
Oh, well, we were really having a hard time thinking of an album name, because everything we came up with has been a problem. And then I have two of these sequencers, and one has a sticker on it that says "We Never Sleep," mm-hmm. and one on it has a sticker on it that says "Sticky Buttons," because it in fact has very sticky buttons. And so we thought that was like kind of cute, and it like referred to our gear and. I don't know, it just sounded funny. It kind of sounded like Stinky Butt or something, too. I think that's the reason.
Okay.
Wait, was there any other reasons we thought Sticky Buttons? I thought there were three layers. Oh, that's right. Yes, it alludes to our sound, which is like hardware made with like, sometimes like, it sounds like maybe the button got stuck or something.
Nice.
Yeah. That is awesome.
go
to dj.queenkv.org for more episodes on Queen KV's oral fixation.